Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ormudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Menstruation is one of the many physical signs that a girl is turning into a woman. Experts and advocates say the silence around menstruation, as well as the lack of access to sanitation facilities and hygienic absorbents in developing countries, directly affect adolescent girls' self-esteem, health, and education. The United Nations Children's Fund says 1 in 10 African girls skip school during menstruation. Some drop out entirely because they lack access to sanitary products. We will discuss menstrual health today. Joining us via phone from Nairobi, Kenya, for more is Angela Lagat, Chief Brand and Marketing Manager with Zana Africa, an organization that delivers reproductive health education and sanitary pads to adolescent girls in Kenya. Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Leno.
It's great to have you join us. Listen, this issue is it's something that I have to say we don't talk about very much, in whether it's in the news or in different media outlets. So give us a sense of the scope of the problem in Africa and Kenya in particular.
Thank you. Just as you had mentioned, I'd like to iterate the United Nations numbers, 1 in 10 schoolgirls across Africa. If you translate that to East Africa, that works out at 4 in 5 girls do not have access to to menstrual hygiene products and related information. That now works out at 2 in 3 girls in Kenya. That is almost 80 or 90% of girls lacking these products. What does this mean?
Hello, Angela?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Sorry, I think we had a
apologies. Problem. So how these numbers translate means the education attainment is actually reduced. Girls are likely to be absent in school. Mm-hmm. They're not able to concentrate. And furthermore, it also impacts how they make health decisions around reproductive health. Being uninformed about their bodies and what's happening, this results to them making informed decisions, such as being sexually active and not knowing what to do. Self-esteem is also an issue related to menstruation. If you're sitting in class, you might attend school, but if the product you're using is not effective or it's crude, it's likely that they will feel shame or they will not be concentrating. And if they do stain their clothes, they kind of lose their confidence being in that space. So just those are just the top line of the impact menstruation has on a girl's life.
So observers say that the silence around this issue is really one that it's not helping. It's more like affecting it instead of helping it. What do you think? There is a culture of silence around menstruation. People are not comfortable about talking about it.
Completely agree with you. It's not only are we talking about whether it's media or individuals, the world of the girl, let's talk about her guardians, her parents, her influencers, the community around her don't talk about it. So I can give you just an anecdotal story, for instance. When Ebola broke out, it was in the media, it was covered, people were talking about it. There were girls who were getting their periods that time, and because they were not knowledgeable and there was not much being talked about menstruation, she thought she had Ebola instead of understanding that she was getting her menstruation. So menstruation is very important to talk about to young girls, and especially those who are about to transition into puberty. And them having this knowledge prepares them to navigate the many challenges she faces when she becomes a teenager. But having knowledge about her menstruation and what the changes that are happening to her body is very important. Silence just results in them feeling that they should hide at this time of their periods. They should be feeling ashamed. And they also feel isolated and alienated. So it's very important that this becomes a conversation on a day-to-day between mothers and daughters, between aunties and their nieces, as well as even fathers. You need to come to a point that it's not a thing of shame, especially when you're talking about rites of passage. Mm-hmm. In Africa, we talk about and celebrate rites of passage for a boy becoming a man. When do we talk about girls having rites of passage as they transition into womanhood. It's a journey, and this is one of the signs as they enter puberty.
When you look at our African cultures, me being from Africa as well, even though each country is different, mm-hmm. but to what extent do you think that is impacting the addressing this issue? And how do we, if there is a, if that is impacting, in fact, how do we address that?
So, I mean, one of the things, and we just had menstruation day, which was on the 28th of May, and one of the theme was around education and educating people around menstrual health. And one of the things we really believe at Ghana Africa is having information about menstruation and what it is and what is needed around it. In the case of information, please realize, and I want everybody to realize, that menstruation is the opportune time to talk to girls around sexual reproductive health. So educating not only her but also her community around what menstruation means going forward in years to come, this is, the menstrual cycle is the reason why we're here. People are born because the menstrual cycle exists. So one of the things, as I say, education. Let's educate not only the girl about her body and what's happening during puberty, but also the community around her. How do you talk to her about her menstruation? And how do you talk about how menstruation surrounds all other sexual reproductive health and rights that that the other thing is sanitary or menstrual hygiene products. It's very important. We do need, myself as a woman and Lizelle as a woman, we know the importance of having access to menstrual hygiene products. For instance, we actually, I mean, the U.S. right now, you guys are all about tampon pads. We, in Kenya, we're at the forefront of since many years, I think since 2004, where we do not tax our menstrual hygiene products. But they're very expensive still. If you're buying a what is considered a premium product at a dollar almost 80, almost $2, that means there's a person who's living on a dollar to $2 a day cannot afford that product. So making sure that the product is accessible to girls is very important, especially the last mile girl. Those around her who provide her with exercise books, with pens and pencils, they should be the ones also making sure that she has access to this product, which is a basic need and a human right.
So what do you think in terms of what, in terms of solution, your organization is making this test, is working in the field actually to bring about some solutions to this issue? Tell us about some of the programs, what you're doing on the ground actually.
So Ghana Africa, it's an organization that I love to say, and people make fun of, we're in the business of menstruation or the business of periods. So at Ghana Africa, we envision a world where we see girls, not only in East Africa, but the world, live healthy, safe, and educated lives, and they're able to define their purpose. What does this mean? This means a world in where menstrual health management is recognized as a human right. And what we do at Ghana Africa, we provide tools, and there are three things that are embedded in everything that we do. Well, we're providing products. We actually manufacture and design menstrual products, which is a sanitary pad called Nia. And Nia means purpose in Kiswahili. And this particular product is a homegrown brand, but the product that we have created and designed is based on insights that we collected from girls and women and what they're looking for in a product. And so we have an amazing product that we manufacture, and we actually sell it in outlets and at affordable prices. Currently, there are many, the market is flooded with different types of products and brands, but they're very expensive if they're considered premium, and if they're cheap, they don't work the way the girl needs it to work. So there's likelihood of staining, or she might have to spend more money buying a small number of pads. So we make sure that we are creating and developing and innovating a sanitary pad that can work hard for the girl. And but no more, I've talked about education. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. And education-wise?
And in terms of education, we have made sure that we are developing content that is referable, that girls can always come back to. between the age that is engaged between the age of 10, 9, and let's say 14 years old, that they have this content that is in form of a comic, in form of storytelling from role models. We have a Shiro, I love to say it's a hero, but it's a hero, she's called Mia, a comic character, who basically shows girls the journey through adolescence. And we talk about menstruation as a core focus of our product. We also have a facilitated health education manual, a curriculum, which is used by mentors to actually have health clubs where girls can have discussion around menstruation, sexual reproductive health rights, around GBV, and also just puberty and the changes that they're facing. So that is what we're doing at Zana Africa. We're making sure that we're delivering a holistic solution that can actually have a system, so we can actually have an impact on the system.
That's fantastic, Angela. We thank you very much for joining us today and share what your take on this very important topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lino.
And good night in Kenya. I know it's very late over there.
I know. And you guys have a lovely day in Washington.
Fantastic. Okay, and that was our guest, Angela Lagia, Chief Brand and Marketing Manager with Zana Africa. And we will continue this discussion on such a critical subject, that is menstrual health, in a short, in a moment. We have to take a short break. And when we come back, we will speak with Sabrina Rubley, who is Executive Director of FAM International, an organization that aims to address the unique health and safety needs of women and girls in developing community. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, and you are listening to Health Chat. If you just joined us, today we are discussing menstrual health and talking about the health of the adolescent girls. And now our guest is Sabrina Rubley. She's executive director for the organization FAM International. As I mentioned, it's an organization that aims to address the unique health and safety needs of women and girls in developing community. Sabrina, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So this whole issue of menstrual hygiene and menstruation with regards to young girls is it's very critical, yet we don't talk a lot about it, at least not on a regular basis. Not long ago, there was a Menstrual Hygiene Day, and that was an opportunity to bring the issue forward. What can you tell us in terms of what that day does in your work?
So Menstrual Hygiene Day is an amazing initiative that really brings attention to the issue of menstruation, because, as you said, it's not something that gets talked about in many cultures around the world, from Africa to Canada to Europe. It is taboo, and women don't talk about it. And so Menstrual Hygiene Day is a time for us to actually consider menstrual health as both a human rights issue and as a critical element of any international development programming. Menstruation is something that affects about half of the world's population for a very long period of time, and yet we don't talk about it. And that means that girls aren't getting the proper education about their bodies. And we talked a lot about the need for sexual and reproductive health education, but so often menstruation isn't included in that field. And it really needs to be, because menstruation and menstrual health is critical to making sure that girls are healthy, that girls are actually attending school and excelling in school, and also feeling confident in their bodies. So Menstrual Hygiene Day is really amazing to get to bring attention to the various initiatives that are going on around the world to break the taboo, to provide menstrual health education to women and girls, and also the provision of sanitary products, pads, tampons, menstrual cups, anything that can help girls stay in school.
So let me ask you this. At what age do you think that a young girl should receive education about her menstrual cycle? Will it be way before she turns into that time of her life, or once she starts? When is the best time?
I would definitely say that a girl needs to know what her period is before it happens. In 2014, we did a study in Nairobi with about 200 girls in the Masai slum, which is one of the oldest slum communities in Nairobi. And we found that over 75% of girls had no idea what their period was when they got their first period. So that left them feeling scared, confused, embarrassed. They thought they were sick or they'd done something wrong. And because there was very little education available to girls, they never really got a true understanding of what it was. They were sort of told, this is your period, here is a pad, and that was it, but not really getting a full understanding of the menstrual cycle and its implications. I think it's extremely important for girls to learn about menstruation before they get their first period, so it doesn't have to be this scary, shocking event that happens to them. I think it's also really important to teach girls at a young age because that goes towards breaking the taboo as well. And if an 11-year-old girl knows what's happening to her body and knows what to expect, it's not so scary anymore. So I think definitely 10, 11, 12 is prime for teaching girls about their bodies. And that's also the time when puberty starts and a girl's body and a boy's body goes through many changes and they need to be prepared for what's going to happen.
Now, You mentioned a boy, which is very important because we know that in certain settings, boys and men are very critical when it comes to women's health. Mm-hmm. So as we address this issue of menstruation with young girls, how do we make boys part of the solution? Are you addressing the issue with boys as well so that they know to respect the girls when they're going through this?
That's a great point, and the answer is yes. We're really trying hard to include men and boys in this conversation because it's absolutely essential for men and boys to have a voice if we really want to break the menstrual taboo. In our work in East Africa, we found that almost all of the girls that we've interviewed have said that they are teased by the boys during their period, which means that the boys don't really know what it is, and they see it as something that is a source of shame for the girls, and they see that it's a weakness and that it can, well, it's not a weakness, of course, but they see that it's a point where they can tease the girls. And we want boys to stop feeling as though menstruation is something to tease the girls about. So we find it incredibly important to teach boys about menstruation and make sure that they have an understanding of what it means. Mm-hmm. As well, something to consider is that when a girl gets her period, that is when she is physically capable of carrying a child. So there are implications if they're practicing unsafe sex. And we know that a lot of teenagers do engage in sexual intercourse, and they need to know that they need to protect themselves to avoid unwanted pregnancies. Also, we do know that in many communities in East Africa and the whole world, men are often in positions of power, and so they need to be on board in order to create behavioral changes and to end those taboos.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of taboos, what are some taboos that are frequent with regards to menstruation that you've come across in your work?
There's many taboos that we've come across, and I think a common theme between them is isolation and a fear of contamination. So in Maasai culture, which is one of the tribes that is in southern Kenya and northern Tanzania, menstruating girls aren't allowed to consume animal products, interact with livestock, or prepare food for fear of contamination. And in a culture where livestock is their currency, I think it sends a really powerful message to young girls that they are not clean, that they will sort of hurt the well-being of the family by milking a cow or something. Other taboos that we've come across are girls not being able to drink from the same water source as her family or her village, girls not being able to stay in the same home as their mother during their period. So a lot of keeping the girls separate and making sure that they're not sort of interacting fully with the family. And I think this like these taboos are rooted in a lack of health education, because your period won't cause crops to die or make somebody sick if you cook them food. But it's a fear, and I think that is why education is so important to breaking these taboos.
So education for the girls, but also for the community at large.
Exactly.
And some advocates say that menstrual cycle is a question of human rights when it comes to menstrual hygiene and menstrual health. What is your take on that?
Well, I think that every girl has the right to an education and the right to being healthy and to feeling safe. And I think to look at menstrual health as a human right is to make sure that her human rights are being met, and that something as natural as her menstrual cycle isn't stopping her from sort of getting that education and staying healthy. So if we're going to look at human rights, I think we need to also address menstrual health to make sure that those rights are being met.
And when in your organization, are you addressing as well the advocacy or some of the policies, or you're just focusing on the girls?
We're trying to. Definitely advocacy is incredibly important to us, because that is how lasting change comes about. So we have definitely been working with the Kenyan government, who are very, they've made a lot of promises to bring sanitary pads to all schoolgirls. And so we're part of a technical working group along with Zana Africa, actually, to make sure that they meet those goals. And we're hoping that we can push the Tanzanian government to follow suit and make sure that the needs of women and girls are being met. And then in Canada, we're also trying to be very outspoken about the need to talk about menstruation, the need to make sure that women's shelters have access to sanitary pads, and prisoners as well have appropriate access to sanitary supplies, as well as talking about menstruation whenever we can, because that is how we break the taboo.
And what other aspect? Tell us more about what you are doing through Femmes Internationales, some of the specific programs.
So we are an education-based NGO, and our work in Kenya and Tanzania is education-based. And so we work directly within the schools and in partnership with community groups to deliver really comprehensive reproductive health education with a focus on menstrual health. Our goal is to make sure that women and girls feel empowered every day of the month, and that their periods never stop them. So our curriculum that we've developed covers everything from the reproductive cycle, the menstrual cycle, puberty, essential hygiene, and then menstrual management, as well as providing or creating a safe space where girls can ask questions, because teenage girls have lots of questions about their bodies, no matter what part of the world that you're in. And we think it's really important for them to have the opportunity to ask those questions and get really good responses.
What are some of the questions that you hear frequently?
We have gotten questions about everything. A lot of questions come up about gender roles and the idea of consent. We've talked a lot about sexual assault. We've talked about female genital mutilation. We've talked about girls that have various symptoms during their period. Some are normal and some are not quite normal, at which point we would refer them to their local health clinics. And so I think it's just giving them a space to ask questions where they're curious. They want to know how their bodies work, and I think it's really important to give them that space. And then the second component of our work is actual distribution of reusable sanitary products. So we distribute either reusable pads or menstrual cups. The girls can choose whichever method they are the most comfortable with. And by doing this, we're removing the financial burden of menstruation, because it is a financial barrier to girls to purchase sanitary pads, and we're also ensuring that they have something safe to use and they don't have to resort to using unsafe homemade methods.
And what about the role of the mothers? How do you include them in this dynamic, or do you go straight to the girls?
Well, we do both, and we're trying to do more with the mother and the family unit because I think the relationship between a mother and a daughter is incredibly special, and the mothers are often the ones that teach the girls about their menstruation, and the mothers want their girls to be safe and healthy, but often the mothers themselves haven't received this education, and so we think mm-hmm. it's very important to do workshops with the mothers and daughters together and to make sure that they're able to support each other.
And what type of impact have you seen?
We've seen really positive impact. Menstrual health is not rocket science. It's a very simple intervention, and it has really powerful impact. We've seen an increase in academic performance, girls attending school more often, less girls leaving school. We've also seen a reduction in girls feeling financial stress related to their periods, and less girls feeling embarrassed during their menstruation. And one of the indicators that I think is the most special is that we've seen 100% of girls we've spoken to have said their self-confidence has improved, which means that they're feeling stronger and they're feeling more confident about their bodies and no longer feeling ashamed of their periods.
Now, one of the issues that is also raised around this is the fact that in the school setting, girls do not have, the infrastructures are not really keen to the girls in terms of where they will change. And what do you make of this, and how do you address this? Is this through advocacy, advocacy work, or do you try to build a toilet that are appropriate for girls?
So that's an excellent point. And in fact, in Tanzania, according to UNICEF, 38% of schools have no water supply, 84% of schools have no hand washing facilities, and 52% of schools don't have doors on the latrines. So it makes it very difficult for girls to manage their menstrual cycles in the school, which is why so many of them will just go home because they don't feel safe or they don't have the resources. So I think it's definitely an advocacy issue. We need to make sure that the governments are building adequate latrines that can support the girls. So that means having hand washing facilities, having a water source whenever possible. I know it's difficult in very arid communities, but that needs to be considered when building a school, as well as having a changing station for girls and making sure that the latrines have doors that lock. So they don't feel unsafe to manage their menstruation.
Absolutely. And before we wrap, let me ask you, what do you see in terms of moving forward with your organization and the work that you're doing in the communities? What next?
We want to expand. This is an issue that affects all schoolgirls, and we want to make sure that every girl is getting that access to education. So we're doing this by expanding our own in-school programming, as well as training other organizations to implement a menstrual health program. So a lot of partnership, a lot of collaboration, and being really involved in events like Menstrual Hygiene Day, where we can connect with organizations around the world that are interested in menstrual health.
And your final words in terms of the message to young girls, a young girl that is just going through this or just doesn't even understand what this is. What is the message to girls out there?
I think that your period is something that you're going to have for many years of your life. It is something natural. It is something that all women around the world experience, and I think that that can unite us and make us stronger. And there's no need to be embarrassed. Your period is not always going to be comfortable. You will have cramps, but we can get through it. And I think the most important thing is just to be confident and be comfortable, and don't let it stop you from achieving your goals.
Sabrina Rubley, this was very, very great and eye-opening to discuss this topic with you. We thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having this show. It was wonderful.
Oh, great. And we thank our guest, Sabrina Rubley, Executive Director from Toronto, Canada, who is with FAM International. And we also thank our guest who joined us earlier, Angela Lagarde, with Zana Africa. And we thank all of you for listening, for tuning in today to Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou in Washington with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.